Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
I love those kind of testimonies. You never know who you are going to impact. And we as believers, what we do for Jesus Christ, it matters. It matters. And God desires for you to share your faith. He desires for you to be all about Jesus Christ, to be all in. And the passage we're going to be in here this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I've titled this, Danger Signs. Danger Signs. There's danger signs that Paul is going to tell this young preacher, Timothy, because they matter. They matter because what we do matters. There's things we should be aware of. For example, here's some danger signs I found. They're real signs. One is don't feed your kids to alligators. Yeah. Beware of the dog. The cat is not trustworthy either. Very true. Yeah. Don't tell me how to do my job. I thought about putting that on my office door from a time or two. Do not touch. This is a real one. I've seen this one. Not only will this kill you, it will hurt the entire time you're dying. Yes, you do not want to get electrocuted. But those are some real signs, some that we've seen. We've seen other general danger signs. And Paul here is going to give some danger signs to Timothy. If he's given it to this young pastor, this young preacher who he loves, it's good for us as a church as well. These are danger signs for a church. These are danger signs for leaders in a church. These are danger signs in our lives. And so is what we're going to see. And so in verse 1, this is what Paul tells him starting off. He says, you should know this. Why are we going over this here this morning? You as a believer should know this. You need to be aware of this. So he says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. And they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. And they will consider nothing sacred. And they will be unloving and unforgiving, and they will slander others and have no self-control, and they will be cruel and hate what is good, and they will betray their friends and be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, notice this, they're going to act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds, and notice this, not just depraved minds, but a counterfeit faith. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. Father, we come before your throne in prayer. Lord, as we dig into your word, I pray that our hearts and our minds are open to what the Spirit of God wants to tell us. May this sermon be focused on Jesus Christ, who is our Messiah, our Savior, and the one who loves us. And God, may this sermon not come across as a self-righteous sermon. May this sermon not come across as that none of us are have it all together and none of us sin, but that there we should look at the danger signs of someone who's not concerned about sin any longer. So, Father, I pray that our faith is real to us. May people see that you desire a relationship with us, not just for us to be religious, not just for us to have the answers or to be callous on the outside, but or look the part on the outside, but be cold-hearted on the inside. So, Father, may we seek your will in all that we do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Paul, he gives us the dangers of the last days. Now, some ask, when are the last days? Technically, when you're reading Scripture, The last days refer to the time of after Jesus resurrected to this day now. Now we know in Scripture, Scripture says that the Son of Man will come, Jesus, right? Just as in the days of Noah. The days of Noah were evil. They weren't good. In fact, many believe, and I believe, that days will wax worse and worse. People will get worse and worse about themselves. And that what's tempting for us to do, though, with the last days, is just to look at America, or just to look at our own culture, or our own city. And while we shouldn't ignore that, in fact, when you look at prophecy, when you look at the latter days, and what should we look at? We should look at Israel, a little country in the Middle East named Israel. In the Bible, and it's easy because we're Americans and we love Jesus and we're about our church, it's easy to put America and ourselves in the middle of prophecy, but that's simply not the case. Who is Paul dealing with as far as, who is he talking to? Now, we know he's talking to Timothy, but who is he referring to? Is he referring to people who are not in church in the sense of like they're lost? In other words, they're not, they don't consider themselves Christians, or they would be considered a non-Christian. Is that who Paul is dealing with? I don't believe so. In fact, I think he's dealing with someone else. You see, we're not surprised as believers when non-Christians act like non-Christians, or those who aren't saved act unsaved. What should shock us, what should bother us, is when those who claim to be Christians, those who claim to be Christ followers, live just like the world. And I believe that's who Paul is dealing with here. In fact, he says that in verse 5, they will act religious but reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Who's he dealing with? He's dealing with people who look religious, they talk like they're religious, but their life does not match up. It doesn't match up. In fact, he says in verse 8, they have depraved minds and they counterfeit faith. There's a reason Jesus said that all who called me Lord, all who did things in my name, that I will say to them, I never knew you, depart from me into the outer darkness. Why is that? They have a counterfeit faith. They think that, well, God, I got my fire insurance, so to speak, or I said a quick prayer, and so therefore I must be saved. But your life never changed. Listen, when Christ saves you, when he saved me, he changed my want to. Before I wanted to live just for Lucas Cunningham, but when I completely gave my life to Christ and he saved me, I wanted and was concerned about what God's will was, not my own. And there's a struggle in Christianity, it's just that. God changes our want to. It's about God's will, not my will. If not, and you've never concerned about that, and you simply prayed a prayer to say a prayer maybe to get the preacher off your back or your spouse off your back or a sibling off your back, my friend, you may just have a counterfeit faith. And Paul has given us this warning here. He's given this warning in this text. And I believe that this text and that Paul was referring, and it was not referring to non-Christians, but he was referring to people who call themselves Christians. A scholar said that, in other words, the problem Paul is describing is not that the world will be evil in the final days of Christ's return, but that the church will be like the world as it is today. The church will be just like the world and equally corrupt, at least when you look beneath the surface. What does that look like? What does that look like? It looks like a church that compromises with the world. They no longer call sin, sin. They say, oh, well, that's just how you feel. Your truth is your truth. No, God's word is truth. He's given us the truth. And so we have God's word. I can tell you right now, I've been accused of such things. Different people at different times. I just brush it off and I move on because I know God knows my heart. I know that I'm in the center of God's will and I'm living for him. I've been accused even with some of the stage design we have. Oh, that church is just, it's just the way of the world. Really? Right, so we stop preaching Jesus, and the paint color suddenly becomes moral. I mean, you're just dumb. I don't know how else to say it. That's a theological word. You're dumb. I don't know how else to say it. You know, and you're being ignorant about it. Lights, they don't make you godly. They don't. They don't make you godly. Flooring doesn't make you godly. A little bit of this, a little bit of that doesn't make you godly. What Paul is warning here is a church or a people who get away from the Word of God and they compromise on the Word of God. They start making their own truths. They stop calling sin, sin. They stop loving people the way Christ loved people. Here's the thing about Jesus. People love to make their own Jesus. They love to make their own God. They love to say, well, my God would never. You're right, your God never would, because you made your own God, and that's idolatry. Here's the thing. Jesus would tell you the truth straight up and yet love you at the same time. In our culture today, there's this idea and there's this tolerance is being preached, but yet there's no tolerance. And our social media has become the dumping ground of all of our feelings. And I think you're better off in general to keep your social media positive. Why? Because there's enough negative in the world. Keep it positive. Keep it. If Christ read my Facebook post, would he be honored and glorified with what I write down? You see, we know that in Scripture, especially in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, God has John write to these seven churches. These letters are given to these seven churches, and what's interesting is, as most pastors, and maybe not all, but in general, and I agree, that these seven churches represent different seven church ages. And there's something different about each one of them. Some good things are about them, some bad, some have both good and bad. And many believe that today that most churches fall into one of those seven categories of what they are. It's important. You should check it out sometime. It's some interesting reading. And let me tell you what, Jesus doesn't pull back. He goes both barrels. And so if you think Christ and who we follow is not about the truth of his word, then you may have a counterfeit faith, because the word of God should be front and center in the basis of our faith and our practice. Nothing wrong with tradition, my friend, but when tradition overtakes God's word and what you truly care about and what you say we should be convicted about, you're getting your convictions confused with your preferences. And when you do that, you got something jacked up in what you value, because you're not valuing the same thing as this word does. Amen? And so with his word is front and it's centered. And so Paul is telling Timothy in verse 1, you should know this. You should know these things. This is what's going to happen. I typically don't talk about other churches or denominations, because I have to keep things positive. I want to preach the word of God. Sometimes there's things that we need to hear, right? But this week, and it breaks my heart, though the vote did not pass, the United Methodist Church voted on. The fact they were voting on this, the fact this was even up to vote on, tells you where they're at concerning following the word of God. I don't mean to make anyone angry. Maybe you're from that, and I love Methodist people. I really do. But when your denomination's voting on whether you're going to have pastors who are homosexuals or not, you are getting away from the Word of God. I tell this in our Next Steps class, our new membership class. If you're gay, or you're, could you come to this church? Could you come with your partner to this church? You're welcome to come to Southside Baptist Church. We will love you. And if you ask me my opinion, I'm not going to seek you out and just say, and hit you over the head with the Bible, right? That'd be assault, biblical assault, maybe. But if you ask my opinion, I'll lovingly tell you the truth. I'm not here to hate you, but I will give you the truth on God's word. Because God's way is the better way. God's way is the way we should go. And that's what I'm going to follow. I'm going to stick to the word of God. And sometimes that offends people, but that's what we do. We preach the Word of God. That's what we focus in on. That's what matters. We need a basis for our truth today. Too many people are basing their truth and how they live and what they value based on how they were raised and based on what the media tells them. You can't trust the media today, folks. The media is gone. The media has gone the way of the devil. It really has. It really has. All of it. What should you hold on to? Man, you can trust and hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to it. So Paul, notice what he says. This is going to be some difficult times. This, I'm just going to pick a couple things here. They're going to love themselves, and not people are only going to love themselves and their money, boastful, proud, scoffing, nothing considered sacred. That's where we're at today. Nothing considered sacred. And I'll say this. Even the way pastors are viewed in our society today, nothing's viewed sacred any longer. And some pastors have themselves to blame for that. And I hate that. I see sometimes with mega church pastors, and I'm not knocking them. Some of them I really like. But some of them fall, and some of them are on an ego power trip. There's one gentleman, I really liked his preaching. I used to listen to him just recently. You know, voted. I mean, the elder said, you're done, and rightfully so. And it's just a bad look. You hate that. Or the world's watching what we're doing. Because you and I as Christians, we influence other people. Our enemy knows this. He wants to ruin our influence. He wants to ruin the fact that we're called to be the salt and the light of the earth. And Jesus wants to use you. He wants to show people Christ through you. And so he knows this. And so nothing sacred on how we view pastors. Listen, I want to say this. I'm not a perfect man. But if you bring an accusation against me, as the Word of God says, you better bring two or three other people with you or shut your mouth behind the scenes. Because I will not tolerate it. I will call you out on a Sunday morning if you're going to do that to me. Amen? The Word of God's strict about it. So I just want to throw that out there. And so here we have, he's saying nothing sacred. Slander others. Have no self-control. Listen, if you're gossiping like the world, my friend, and you just live for gossip. You're just always listening for it. You need to wake up and read Scripture. My friend, you may have a counterfeit faith that's not of the Lord. You're slandering others, no self-control, and they will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, reckless, puffed up, and act religious. Man, what should you stay away from people like that? You don't need it. You don't need it. You see, why is it so tempting to love pleasure than God? Why are we so drawn to pleasure? You see, pleasure is something that we can control. We can't control God. We can't control Him. Most pleasure can be obtained easily. Love for God requires effort and sometimes sacrifice. Pleasure benefits us now. The benefits of loving God are often in the future. Be aware of carnal Christians. If you have someone who's around you who's a Christian but doesn't help you bring you closer to Jesus Christ but take you further away, you need to get rid of them. So that's not very nice. Well, stay away from people like that. They need to repent and get right or stay away from them. Because here's what happens. You and I tend to be like the five other people who we are most typically around. And so you have your spouse, if you have a spouse. You have those friends, you have maybe those coworkers. Maybe you can't always help that with who you work with. But who you're around, who you invest your life in, those top five people is who you're typically going to be around. Like I tell my kids, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. I'll show you who you are. I'll show you your future. Why do we say that? Because who we're around influences us. Stay away from them. If they have no interest in becoming like Christ, stay away from them. Counterfeit Christians will look to manipulate others around them. Paul, he brings up these two names, which we see them in the Old Testament, but we see them here in the New Testament, of a situation where Moses is before Pharaoh, and the Lord is using Moses, and he throws down his staff, it turns into a snake, and Jannes and Jambres do the same thing, and what happens? Moses' stick, who turned into a serpent, it was a miracle, ends up eating the other ones. God says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about when the ungodly flourish. What will happen? He will take care of all of that one day in His time. And so He gives us a warning. He gives us an example of two people and what went on with them. So what do we have here? You have carnal Christianity. Carnal Christianity is only about itself. Bob Goff, he said this in his book. Wonderful guy. He said, our lives will never be about Jesus if we keep making everything about ourselves. And that's what carnal Christianity does. It says, serve me, give me, and only works, only is only concerned about themselves. You see, in church, It should be about you being served, but you also being served. You being served and you also serving. It should be about you being fed, but also you feeding. About you being encouraged, but also about you encouraging. It's a two-way street. It's a place that you can love and be loved. Carnal Christianity doesn't care about what they give out. Carnal Christianity only makes their faith about themselves. It only takes. It doesn't give. Counterfeit faith wants power with no responsibility. Counterfeit faith ignores what the Word of God says and goes by what society says or feels. Federal agents don't learn to spot counterfeit money by studying counterfeits. They don't lay a bunch of counterfeits out in front of them and just have them look at all the different fake ones. No, what do? They take them through the process. They show them the process of how money is made. They get them so familiar with how the real dollar bill is made that they know a fake when they see one. They get so familiar with it. My friend, you don't have to know all the details of every religion in the world. What you do need to know is the Word of God, the real McCoy. The truth. You see, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The main difference between the world's religions and Christianity is very simple. Christianity is about humbling yourself and coming to God as a child and putting your pride aside and God offering you and I grace and mercy despite the fact that we deserve death and hell, he offers salvation to us. The rest of the world's religions are about puffing yourself up, either becoming like God or becoming your own God, or denying God and puffing yourself up. It's about you trying to reach him. You can't reach him. You can't reach him because the wall of sin is so high you can't get over it, so wide you can't get around it, it's so deep you can't get under it. Why not just go through the door, Jesus Christ, that he is knocking at, knocking, 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 asking you to come on in, accept him. He stands there waiting for you. So what should we do? I believe we're living in the latter days. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. No one knows. If someone tells you that, then stay away from that pastor. He's a false prophet. But we know that we can look around. We can see some of the signs. We can see where morals have gone in our world, let alone our country, and go, things aren't getting better, they're getting worse, but God is still just as faithful, amen? We can still trust in him. So what should we do? Well, Paul tells Timothy what to do, verse 12. He says, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. What? Joel Osteen, he forgot this verse right here. All right? I mean, you're going to suffer persecution in your life. Listen, you may not be doing it right. Some of the worst persecution we get here in America is that someone might make fun of us, typically. Whereas in China and certain parts of the world, they're being beheaded. They're being beaten. They're being imprisoned just for going to church. There's a magazine I subscribe to called The Voice of the Martyrs. You should get it. It'll humble you. It humbles me every time I get one as I look through. Show it to your kids. It blacks out the faces of the Christians. It does. Why? Because they're trying to hide their identity so they're not taken and dragged out of their home and beaten. They're in China of them meeting in random barns in the middle of the night. They don't have a place of worship like this. In fact, China's been on a war path of tearing down some of the churches they did allow. But yet, Christianity is growing like wildfire in China and some of those parts that they're so persecuted. Why? Why? Because they see the truth. In fact, they consider it an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ. We can't hardly handle, sometimes we're afraid that our neighbor finds out we're a Christian or someone at work finds out we're a Christian. Man, we need to suck it up. Suck it up, buttercup, right? I mean, we are so afraid of being hurt for Jesus Christ or being mistreated for Jesus Christ. It embarrasses me sometimes that we don't suffer any of the persecution that some of the other ones do and how deep their faith is. And it says, but evil and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. So he's telling Timothy, What should you do? Remain faithful to what you know. Not just anything of what you know. He's going to tell him what to be faithful of, reminding him, because he knows what Timothy knows. He knows the Word of God. He knows he should hold on to it. Hold on to the Word of God. Remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, and you know you can trust those who taught you. In other words, you have mentors in your life that you know you can trust. Have those mentors in your life. Trust them. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They have been given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And notice this. You can underline this underneath your Bible. This is some good stuff. All Scripture, all of it, Genesis to Revelation, it stops at Revelation. There's no lost books of the Bible. No, you got it right here. There's some books of wisdom that maybe were written years ago. We have many books that are written today. So if you read them, they're good books, right? But they're not Scripture. If great advice, they had books, other books as well, during the New Testament times. The New Testament churches got together. They didn't go, well, what do we want the Word of God to be today? Or let's write it this way, or the way that we want. No, they simply affirmed what they already knew as churches, what the Word of God was. When you read some of the other things, like the Apocrypha, you can see there's some good things in there. There's a story of the Maccabees, very interesting. But it's not Scripture. You can read it just by telling. I won't go into why we believe the Bible is true. We'll save that for our series coming up here in a month or so. But the Bible, it safeguards us from false teaching. And it's a source of guidance for us. If you want to show someone they have a crooked stick, you lay down a straight one. And the Word of God is that straight stick to show you and I, to correct us, to help us to live right. Notice this, all the Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. It's alive. It's useful. Notice what it's useful for. This is why we need it. This is why we need it in our lives. It says, it's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Man, we are bent towards sin. You don't have to teach your kiddos how to sin, right? They naturally know how to do it. Even preacher kids. I got to teach those kids how to do right. Got to teach them. Grant, the other day, so he had his first soccer game. He's pumped up. The kid, he's just like me. He just is. And Grant doesn't want to lose at anything. And especially to his brother. He will cheat. He will steal. He will do whatever it takes. And I'm not doing that anymore, all right? I've grown up. But Grant is ready to roll, man. And so they have a soccer game, and the ball's way over there, and he's 5 years old. So he's kicking the air, and I'm like, the ball's like way over there, bud. And he's just having a good time. And it only took one kid to push him. And guess what he's doing? He's kicking the air, and he's going around pushing every kid he could see that was opposite jersey. Boom, boom. I'm like, oh, man, hope no one knows who I am at this moment in time. And no one did. And so I'm like, Grant, get over here. So he comes over there. What, Dad, what? I'm like, bud, you can't push those kids. You're not allowed to do that. You got to go after the ball. If they push you, don't worry about it. You got to go after the ball. And so, okay. And so he runs off. And so that was our adventure yesterday of having his first soccer game. And but 2 Peter tells us this. I can't remember what point I was going to make with that, but now you got it. It says, 2 Peter chapter 1, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit as they spoke from God. And so God used the writers. He used their minds, he used their talents, he used their language, their personalities. He used them to write the Word of God. The Holy Spirit dictated to them what God wanted to be written. In Scripture, it can be trusted. God was in control of the writing. God's big enough, if he didn't want something in there, he didn't want something in there. He would take it out. And so God is using this process that we see is known as inspiration. And so God used them. He controlled the situation.
And so that's what he did with him. And notice as we continue on, it corrects us when we are wrong, teaches us how to do right. Notice verse 17, don't miss this. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You need the word of God in your life. Listen, if you're a young believer here or you're new to the faith, the best advice I can tell you is you're going to have days where you don't feel like a good Christian. You're going to have days where you feel like a great one. I mean, days where you feel like you disappointed God. And the number one thing you can anchor your heart and your soul and your faith onto that you need to do, if you can every single day, is the Word of God. Because my friend, whether you're a mature believer or a new believer, notice what it says. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Listen, God did not save you just from hell. He didn't save you from something only. He saved you to something. What is that? To do good works for him, for the glory of God. That's his will for you, believer. How can you accomplish that will? By being in the Word of God. Listen, if you think you can do the will of God the way God desires for you to live out the Word of God without being in the Word of God on a consistent basis, you are fooling yourself. And you're not following what Scripture tells us to do. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do some good works. No. Every good work. Every good work. So you need it. This is what happens. You end up being 40, 50, 60, however years of age. You've been saved 20 years. You get some of the Word of God. You get fed at church, which is good. You get fed maybe in your Sunday school class, and you come, but your growth is stunted because you're never in the Word of God. In fact, how would you even know if I teach something that's false up here? The Word of God. And so if you don't know it, then how can you trust anything that you see and you watch on TV? Let me tell you what. There's some counterfeit preachers on TV. There's some of them are not very good. There's some of them that their view of Jesus Christ is jacked up. If I mention some of their names, you go, oh, I have some of their books. I have some of their books. One, I'll just tell you, that there's some good things in there. And there's some things that may help you. But as far as her theology, and even concerning Jesus, I'd stay away from. We already get the warning here in the danger signs. From verse 6 to 8, it says that and they are the kind who work to people's homes and win the confidence of honorable women and who are burdened of guilt and sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings. Listen, be careful who you listen to. Look into the Word of God. And number one way that you can tell if someone's a counterfeit, it's their view of Jesus Christ. And sometimes there's other believers you may disagree with. Sometimes you have our Church of God friends, right? They're saved. But we may have some different views on certain things of Scripture. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when they have a different view completely of Jesus Christ and who he is. One, I guess I'm just naming names today, right? This is how I feel today. But there's some good things in her book. But in general, I stay away from them. Because her views on teachings on Jesus Christ is Joyce Meyer. Yeah, I figured I'd get at least a grasp or two. Check it out. I'm not going to go through all of it today, but I would not trust the teaching of Joyce Meyer. It does not match up with Scripture. It does not match up with the teachings of simple of Jesus Christ. Would not. Stay away from it. Are there some good things in there? Maybe this has been a blessing to you. I'm sure, absolutely. But I would be very, very careful of what you listen to. Get into the Word of God. Some of you don't know that because you don't know the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. If you're new to the faith, you're like, I'm just learning. I'm learning. That's okay. Keep learning. The main thing is that we keep on learning. We need the Word of God. See, the word teaches you to think differently. It teaches us how to think differently. Guys, I need the PowerPoint, please. There we go. The Word teaches you to think differently. Romans 12 tells us this. It tells us, there we go.
All right, don't live any longer. I have it on my paper, but I live any longer the way the world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what he wants is right. Notice what it says. There's a way that the world lives, and there's a way that Christ wants us to live. My friend, what do you really desire to live? You see, there's things that the world teaches that goes against God's word. You see, the word of God, it teaches you to think differently about your time, how you manage your time. It teaches you to think differently about your money, very practical, life-changing things. It teaches you to think differently about relationships, how you date, prepare for marriage, and marry and raise your kids. It teaches you to think differently about sex, because you have to admit the world's value system when it comes to sex is completely out of whack. The world wants our children confused if they're a male or a female. That's how jacked up our world is today. There's a way that the world is thinking that simply isn't biblical. And we're telling our kids they're not beautifully and wonderfully made. Teaches you to think differently about having kingdom values versus worldly values. Why is this so important? Because the way you think determines the way you behave. And what you think determines what you become. Just very practical. The way the world manages time today basically says, can I do something? We as Christians should ask us this. Should I do this? Should I do something? Because there may be some things that are legal. You can check off that box, but you shouldn't do them as a believer. I don't know what it is for you, but if you're asking yourself, well, is this legal? You're not asking the right question. You're asking, is this something that a Christ follower should do? And be guided by the Holy Spirit concerning if you should do such a thing. Maybe it's in business practices. Maybe it's in some habits that you have. It's legal. And the world says it's legal. The world says, you know, I can do that. Nothing wrong with it in their view, in their mind. But a Christ follower says, what does the Word of God say? You see, the Word teaches us to live differently. Christians don't live like normal people live. Normal, listen, normal is drinking away your problems. Every time you have a problem, you see some of the shows, what are they doing at the end? Having a drink. No, that's not normal. Normal is hating your life and just living for the weekend. Normal is not being involved in your children's lives. Normal is only asking what's in it for me instead of what's in it for we. Normal is sending your 15-year-old daughter on a date with an 18-year-old hairy laid guy who has only one thing on his mind. Normal is sleeping with a half dozen people, maybe a dozen or more, and doing married things on the front side of marriage. Listen, if you want what normal people do what normal people do. If you want what few people have, do what few do. And so God saved you for something, not just from something. Jesus followers don't think, they don't live like normal people do. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 7. Jesus, I mean, he is clear cut down, I mean, in your face. He doesn't mess around. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There's a broad way, there's a narrow way. Why is the broad way so broad? Because it's easier to do just what's easy. It's easy just to want to go with the flow. But a dead body can go with the flow. You and I are called to be the light. We are called to shine. We are called to be Jesus followers. Because the way that we live, it matters. It matters. Listen, and people are watching you, Christian. They're watching you. They're watching to see if your talk matches up with your walk. Because there's much at stake, as we saw in that video. People are watching. Your influence matters. You influence people. Sometimes you don't even end up knowing you are influencing. And so when you take Scripture seriously, and let me say it again, when you take the Word of God seriously and you pursue God, you will be different from this world. If you're not different, if you look like everybody else, you act like everybody else,
I submit to you, you may not truly know the God of this Bible. Because the more you pursue him, the more different from the world you will be. Your values will change. What motivates you will change. The way that you live will change. The more I pursue Christ, the weirder I become. Not in a bad way. Some of you are like, well, I think you are weird already. Maybe. But weird in a God way. That's what we're called to be. Different. Separate. In fact, 1 Peter tells us, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Listen, normal isn't working. Normal isn't working. And Paul gave these danger signs for you and I to be reminded, to be on the lookout, that we are called to hold on to the word of God, to anchor our faith. So what should you do? What am I asking you to do here this morning? I've given you this information. I want you to ask yourself, is your faith about you? Is your faith only about you? Or is it truly about what God wants for you in your life? Is it about wanting and desiring God's will in your life? Or maybe you just came this morning to get a little bit of Jesus. And my friend, that's probably all you'll end up with is a little bit. And you're going to miss out on the point of Scripture and the point of what God wants and all that he has for you. He wants so much more. I want us to please God and be in the center of his will. To put our pride aside and say, God, what do you want? What do you desire? What are you wanting me to do? Even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, God, what are you calling me to do? See, but I may have to give up some things. Exactly. That's how the Lord works. See, he doesn't want to be number one in your life. Nope. God wants to be number one in your job. He wants to be number one in your family. He wants to be number one in your health. He wants to be number one. He wants preeminence in all things, just not part. He wants it all. God is a jealous God because he knows what sin can and will do to us. He knows that we can't get around that wall that is in front of us. He knows how much we need his word, the living word of God, in our lives. There's a great app, and I'll end with this, that I recommend to you. Many of you already have it. It's called YouVersion, YouVersion.com. You can get that app on your phone. It's a great app. It's free. It's a free audio. Maybe you have a long trek to work. There's different versions of the Bible on there. You can listen to them. I listen to them almost every morning, listening to the Word of God. Make that a regular practice in your life. You need it. You need it. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you never give up on us, that we are not a church of perfect people. We're a church of fallen people who are sinners. And I know I need your word of God in my life to keep me on the straight and narrow path of doing your will. That what we know and what we teach and what we do in our lives and who we fellowship with, it matters. Because this life matters. And what we do for Jesus Christ, it matters. It matters. So, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that may wonder, man, I'm not sure about what the preacher preached this morning. I pray that they either come talk to me or two, they get into the Word of God and see what I said was even true. Because ultimately, that's our baseline, not my words, your words. So, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that has never given their life to Christ, that's never repented of their sins, I pray they do so here this morning. Pray that they'll ask in faith, God, you will save them, you will cleanse them. It's something that you do, and it's a wonderful thing to go from death to life. Jesus came not to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. My friend, he will do that just for you.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great weekend.